Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, hey! Welcome to After Hours. We always love to hear the voice of Kevin Harlan, especially if he is doing play-by-play for a streaker. We can only hope for another one in this year's Super Bowl. Kevin is the best, and we recently had him on the show and stumbled into Radio Gold. I asked him how he got his start as a play-by-play announcer, and the man told the coolest story. If you haven't heard it, we just cut that portion of the interview and put it on our YouTube channel, YouTube named after the show. As you notice, I'm trying to promote the YouTube channel more and more because not only is it producer James' favorite thing, it makes him happy, and we want you to know that that's also out there and available for you. As we get closer to Super Bowl week, we will put more and more of our interviews. And of course, during Super Bowl week, our pseudo radio row will have a lot of traffic on YouTube as we post more of our favorite conversations. So please subscribe to it, bookmark it, whatever, along with our Facebook page. And then, of course, our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. We're asking you on this edition of the show, just because I do not take my job or my role too seriously. Your answers are cracking me up already. I love it. What is the most annoying sports radio topic ever? Some of you just don't like the storylines. For instance, Sandy says on Facebook, any Jimmy G trade talk. Oh, Sandy, it's just getting started. It's happening. I'm sorry. You may want to completely avoid all sports radio in the NFL offseason. So we'll get back to that, all right? Find it on Twitter or on Facebook and take aim. Ready, aim, fire, peeps. But for now, we're thrilled to welcome Steve Weish, host, reporter, analyst for NFL Network. He's attended a bunch of games in his role with the network over the course of this NFL season, and we always enjoy picking his brain. So hopping on now from Los Angeles. And Steve, even as we get set for the playoffs, I've so enjoyed talking to people about the end of the regular season. And I'd love to know how you're feeling as we're kind of in that lull. We finished up week 18, but now we're heading into this crown jewel of the NFL's slate with the playoffs.
Well, Amy, I think the cool part was, as much as we complained about a 17-game season, look at how many seedings and playoff placements came down to that final week. Typically, we're talking about all these teams resting players, X, Y, and Z. That barely happened. I mean, you know, you saw the final game with the Raiders and Chargers come down to that crazy finish. You had all of these other games. You know, the Steelers, they seemed like they were in, but oh no, if the Raiders and Chargers tie, they're out. You know, the Rams went from the number two seed to the number three seed. The Niners get in. I mean, so I just think the fact that the NFL had us on a cliff, you know, all the way until that final game, that was super exciting. And now it sets up for, okay, so you've got Tennessee in the AFC and Green Bay in the NFC with the top seeds. They have buys. But you cannot look at this weekend and say that there's an automatic winner in a game. But you can say, okay, well, Pittsburgh's going to have a hard time, you know, because they're just, you know, they kind of backed in, whatever. It's the Steelers. It's Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger. You know, you never know. And so I just think going into this weekend, it could be real topsy-turvy, almost like the first round of March Madness, you know, where a 16 or a 16 could win or something like that. But I just think there's just so many good matchups, you know, Dallas, San Francisco, the Raiders and the Bengals, the Bills and the Patriots, that, you know, the NFL coming back from a season in which there were no fans in the seats or very few fans in the seats could not have asked for a better menu to finish the season.
Oh, for sure. It was good to the last drop with three teams going into overtime to win on Sunday and make it into the playoffs. And, of course, the Niners are one of those teams. You mentioned them getting in. They've got a real challenging game on the road in Dallas, so we can talk about that. But they finished the season 7-2, Steve. And I know you spent a lot of time covering them in the NFC West. What stands out about their second half and how they got to this point?
Resilience. I mean, think about it. Jimmy Garoppolo goes down. You know, Trey Lance has got to start a game. They've had running backs, you know, come and go to, you know, Elijah Mitchell has really shown up. You know, just the fact that they're resilient, right? There's a lot of resiliency going on. The Steelers have been resilient. The Raiders have been resilient. But this team has gotten better in that process. I mean, they're so physical. They're, you know, the only other teams that are physical is them. Are the Packers and the Titans, just a team that can just pound you and pound you. And every guy who touches the ball is not going to go down with an arm tackle or with one tackler. You know, their defensive line just really just makes life miserable for everyone. You know, and you know, to see Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, a guy who's probably not going to be with them next year, regardless of the circumstance, come on, play a game like he did, you know, against the Rams in the 17th game, to show up when he's got so many doubters, and for everyone, the Deebo Samuels of the world, the George Kittles, to show up like they did. It's just a fun team to watch. And, you know, I know Dallas on paper looks like they've got some favorable matchups with their wide receivers, with their edge rushers and things like that. But that game could be absolutely fantastic, and I don't think anyone would be surprised if the Niners won.
I use the word bullies about San Francisco a bunch because they can get so strong and so tough and physical in the trenches that they will push other teams around. We saw it multiple times with the Rams. We've really seen that kind of set the tone for them. Not just physical, athletic players, but smart players too. And Nick Bosa, of course, coming back from his injury and having this incredible season, kind of the center of all of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been fantastic. You know, Amy, I've got a piece that's going to air on NFL Network starting Friday. It'll probably air through the weekend where I sit down with Nick. And we discuss, you know, not just the physical, you know, the physical part of coming back from an ACL. You know, we've seen Dak come back from the ankle injury and Joe Burrow come back from the knee injury. The physical part, this is what athletes are built for, right? They overcome challenge. They're constantly training with the mental stuff that he had to go through. And some things he really had to work through to come back and start all 17. You know, in week 18, when they're playing the Rams in that great overtime game, he played 92% of the defensive snaps.
Whoa.
You know, for a guy to have a career year with 15 and a half sacks, which is the Bosa household record from his dad and Joey. No one's ever had 15 and a half sacks in a season. And then for the pressures and the quarterback hits and just the way how good he is against the run. You know, along with Eric Armstead and a guy like Arden Key, who's really stepped up. They mash, they're disciplined, and they're just a fun team to watch. Again, who knows if it ends this weekend against a really good Dallas team, but they're the type of team that could go on the road and win in cold weather and things like that. So clearly a team to watch.
You can look for that conversation between Steve Wyche and Nick Bosa coming up this weekend on NFL Network. And Steve is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So you've seen the Niners a bunch and, of course, the Rams, too, in Los Angeles in the NFC West. They went through a bit of a swoon themselves but ended up catching the Cardinals for the NFC West title. How did they kind of turn things around and get back on track?
They got back on track because they started running the ball better. You know, Sony Michel came in and really, you know, they traded for him early in the season when Daryl Henderson couldn't stay healthy. You know, he got his opportunities. They committed to the run. They set up the play action pass. And Matthew Stafford, you know, was on point. He's got the best wide receiver in the NFL this year in Cooper Kupp. And, you know, they just had that great connection. You know, the one thing with the Rams and all of their losses, you're all five of them, is they have been out physical. They got out physical by Tennessee. They got out physical by the Packers. Right. They got out physical by the Niners twice. And when Arizona beat them in week four, they put, you know, they came in and they were having these 50 play drives and scoring touchdowns. You know, for that game, again, round three with Arizona and the Rams, because the Rams came back and really put it on them later in the season. You know, Arizona not having DeAndre Hopkins really hurts. And they may not have James Conner, their running back, this week. And so they're moving the ball. They're just not scoring. You know, they're getting they get 8 yards and then have a 15-yard penalty. And they're really harming themselves, kind of some self-inflicted wounds, and that's putting pressure on Kyler to try to, you know, get it all back in one chunk. If they can keep things steady this week, you know, this is going to be a really good game. You know, I think the Rams will bounce back. They bounce back from losses really well. But again, this is just another one of those games you're like, man, you know, either one of these teams can win.
And then we've got the defending Super Bowl champions who will start things off on Sunday against the Eagles. You talk about running the ball under Nick Sirianni in his first year. Tampa has lost a lot of pieces around Tom Brady. He's still Tom Brady, but how dangerous are the Super Bowl champs right now considering what's happened?
Yeah, I mean, they've lost pieces on offense and on defense, you know, and it's kind of hurt their run defense. So you're talking about what Philadelphia does. But, you know, this is where I think Todd Bowles will get these guys to step up and really put a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts. And this is where Tom Brady plays his best football, and Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians will scheme some things up. But this isn't going to be easy for them. You know, last year they were really peaking and playing phenomenal football the final month of the regular season going into the playoffs. That's not the case right now. I mean, that defense has been leakier than we've seen it. Again, the run defense has not been a stout. Not saying it can't be, you know, with Sue and Vita Vea and you know, Shaq Barrett and those guys. But, you know, they've got some injuries along the way. And that secondary's a little nicked. So, you know, and then the wide receiver situation with Godwin down, the whole AB drama, that's something that they've got to figure out. Because now you can scheme them different defensively. You know, you can really focus in on Gronk or really focus in on Mike Evans. But getting Leonard Fournette back is going to help them. This is going to be a challenge, but, you know, the fact the game's in Tampa, you know, I think you got to look at this one as the Bucs being the favorites to win this one.
When we think about teams that missed out on the playoffs or that didn't live up to expectations, what are a couple of surprise storylines from that perspective, Steve, that you'll take away from the season?
Well, I mean, you got to look at the Browns first. I mean, the Browns have so much talent, and because of inconsistency, injuries, guys on the COVID list, they just could not put it together. And, you know, the whole Odell issue, you know, now he's playing like really well for the Rams.
Right.
You know, that I think, you know, they're one of the bigger disappointments. Seattle collapsing like it did. You know, when's the last time we've seen a Russell Wilson-led team just really not have a pulse? I mean, they wouldn't put it on Arizona in the season finale, but for them to play the way, you know, they did, I think is probably a little disappointing. I mean, there's going to be some teams like that. I mean, you talk to coaches around the league, and they're like, man, the Vikings are a good football team. But, I mean, look at how many close games they lose every year, whether it's in a kicking game or a situation where they just can't put a team away. So I think those are some of the teams that you look at like, wow, you know. And then, of course, the Ravens with all of their injuries. And,
right.
You know, that's just a team we're just not used to seeing being out of the playoffs. So, but I think when you look at disappointments, you have to start with Cleveland and, you know, how they're going to move forward and can they build back, because they are loaded with talent.
They are. Steve Wyche is with us from NFL Network. We're glad to have him here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. We've had, of course, the various coaching openings that we expected, but then one that we didn't, at least me in Miami, I didn't see that coming with Brian Flores. And we're hearing a lot of different names that are thrown out there. Who are some candidates that either you've heard of or that you think are ready to become head coaches, Steve?
Yeah, this is an interesting one because, you know, you're not seeing that target candidate like, you know, last year, Urban Meyer was a guy that the Jags definitely had their sights set on and zeroed in. You know, you're not hearing about that guy. So I think some names, you know, I'm glad Leslie Frazier is getting some interviews because he's someone. I think some of these owners now are saying, okay, we've got to get a culture. We've got to dial the temperature down a little bit and get a grown-up in here to lead us. I think Jim Caldwell, he's been out for a while, but I think Jim Caldwell is going to have an opportunity. He's someone that people are realizing is a heck of a coach. You know, he's someone who could probably go into Jacksonville. I don't know if he's going to get the job, but absolutely turn down the chaos there. Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, he is very high on a lot of teams' list. People understand how good of a leader he is. He's got to make sure he's got to get a good offensive coordinator with him, but they know he can assemble a staff, and they saw what he did with that Dallas defense, taking talent that was there and making it elite for the most part. So then, you know, again, Byron Leftwich, Eric Bieniemy, Todd Bowles.
I was just going to ask about Todd, yeah.
Yeah, Todd, Matt Eberflus. You know, I'm blanking on the OC for the 49ers, but he's going to get some interviews. You know, Kellen Moore. I think these teams are going to be a little bit more diligent, a little bit more patient, so they can speak to 12 guys if they have to figure out just who is the right person instead of just who's the offensive Svengali who can get the best out of their quarterback. I mean, I think the Giants are learning that lesson now to see who can get us the right culture. You know, who can be that person instead of just, you know, doing things the way we've done it before. That seems to be the more important angle more of these teams, at least initially, seem to be taking.
Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, he's somebody who's, you know, once people talk to him, they're going to be like, okay. You know, plus he's from that whole Shanahan,
yes. You
know, McVay type of tree right there that, you know, that's proven pretty successful.
What about Brian Flores? I know he came from the Bill Belichick tree, and people seem to have such a down opinion on guys who've coached under Belichick, but back-to-back winning seasons in Miami, I actually thought that he got that team to stay together despite all the different iterations they went through.
Yeah, you know, what's funny, Amy, is a lot of times when you hear about these coaches who have internal conflicts, who have personality disputes, who have a hard time keeping staff together, you know, retaining staff. You know, if they're winning ball games like Brian did, a lot of times they're given a little bit of patience. You know, there's like, okay, look, we're going to have a conversation. I remember a couple of years ago, Indianapolis, I think something was going on with Chuck Pagano, and you know, and they thought they're going to blow everything out. No, we're going to sit together and work it out. John Harbaugh had to go through that, right? So some of these coaches were given more patience. And so it just must have been a situation in Miami where Stephen Ross, who's hired Lord knows how many coaches, just said, this is not, you know, we've got to nip this in the bud for what I want here. Now, what does he want? Who knows? But, you know, Brian Flores, you know, remember, that's been a team that had, there was a lot of dysfunction and a lot of losing before he got there. So he did a really good job. But just again, some of the things you heard, not just from in the building, but out of the building, about, you know, again, keeping staff, losing just so many guys who've gone on to do well as assistants and having a hard time luring some top coordinators. You know, that factored into it. And apparently, clearly, there was some type of rub with GM Chris Greer.
Right.
But he's getting some interviews. And hopefully, you know, he can learn from this. You know, that's the one thing we've seen is guys can learn. They can grow. And, you know, this has to hurt seeing that how successful he could have down there. So hopefully he could learn and get a good staff. I think at some point he'll be a head coach again, if it's this cycle, if it's the next cycle. But I think Brian's the type of guy who's going to grow and learn.
So, Steve, before I let you go, we keep saying this now. It's been a couple of weeks, but this could be the last time we see Ben Roethlisberger on a football field. 5 years down the road, what will you say were the hallmarks of Roethlisberger's career?
Clutch, tough. I mean, that dude would, like, play three quarters and look so ordinary, and then the fourth quarter he would just cut you up and win you ball games. One of the most clutch quarterbacks, you know, of this era. I mean, you know, people forget how many games, you know, he rescued late. And just so, so tough, you know, going through the injuries. Yeah, people said he was dramatic, but, man, that dude took some hits. and played through it. And, you know, we can say whatever you want about Ben. He's a Hall of Famer. And the fact that he was just so clutch and so reliable late in games is really what I take from him. He's someone I thoroughly enjoyed seeing play football because I think he did it the right way.
Mm. You can find Steve on Twitter at Weiche89, W-Y-C-H-E-89. Reporter, analyst, host all over NFL Network. And make sure you check out his conversation with Nick Bosa coming off that career year and now headed to the playoffs for the Niners. Steve, it's great to catch up with you always. We look forward to doing it again as we kind of investigate these offseason stories. But playoffs first, my friend. Playoffs first.
All right, Amy. Thanks for having me on.
I love this time of the year because it's essentially everybody in the pool. This is what the NFL is all about. And last night we talked to Lindsay Rhodes and she has one perspective. And now we talked to Steve, who has been extensively covering the NFC West and has been on the sidelines at games and has talked to players and just two completely different perspectives. And yet I can learn so much from them and I enjoy the conversation. I hope that you did too. All of our interviews are podcasted separately after hours, amylawrence.com. You don't have to listen to the entire show if what you're looking for is the conversations with our analysts or our guests. And also, I always, later in the day, the following day, so this would be on Thursday afternoon, I always share the link to the conversation with Steve or with Lindsay or with Kevin Harlan. And so we want to make those available for you in case you missed them in their entirety. Lots of fun answers coming in, even as I was talking to Steve. The most annoying sports radio topic ever. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. You guys are a hoot. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. We welcome all kinds here on After Hours.
Josh, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you. I really called about the Ravens. Got rid of what's the wide receiver name? They gave Joe Flacco a $100 million contract, and they got rid of the wide receiver. I can't remember his name. He played for Detroit now. But anyway, I want to thank you. And I'm sorry I can't remember the name of the guy.
thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
All right, bye bye.
What's the wide receiver name? Can't remember his name.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You know who would be great at the topic that we've got on the show tonight? My mom. So you remember, for those of you who are listening to the shows I did from Houston, Mom joined us on the pre-Christmas show. So I just did one show after I had arrived in the Houston area, and she made faces at me the whole time because she did not want to be on the radio. But I twisted her arm and I said, we won't talk about sports. We'll only talk about Christmas traditions and baking and fun stuff like that. And so we did that, though she did admit that she's a big fan of basketball and Steph Curry. So that was kind of cute. But if I said to her, Mom, what are the most annoying sports radio topics ever, she would have a list because she generally has to put up with sports, especially football, because her husband Mike is the only other sports fan in our family. And so he watches a lot of football, and she will roll her eyes. Can you turn that thing off? It's so boring. So I guarantee she would say anything that has to do with football. Also, she could not stand Kobe Bryant, hated Kobe Bryant. And so anytime I would bring up Kobe back when he was still playing, she would also express her displeasure as well. Oh, I hate Kobe. Mom was one of those sports fans, I guess you could say. She's a fan of basketball. Who would never reserve her opinion. She's just like you guys. She just puts it on out there. What are the most annoying sports radio topics ever? Ready, aim, fire, peeps. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. As a side note, really quickly, I happened to catch part of Week 18 mic'd up on the NFL Network. So good. I wish we could use those on the show. The problem is you can't see who it is that's talking. But if you want to actually, producer James, check for Rob Gronkowski in our system, because I heard our New York affiliate use it on Wednesday morning. Apparently, he was talking to a teammate on the sidelines about getting his $1 million, his incentives, and that Tom Brady wouldn't come out of the game until Gronk had gotten his incentives and his $1 million. And then the conversation that Gronk has with a teammate, I don't know which teammate it is, but he has with a teammate about his milli, as he calls it, is hysterical. So yeah, I love it when players are mic'd up. We get some really fun audio that way. Let's talk to Steve, who's in San Francisco. Steve, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Amy, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
It's an honor.
Oh, thank you.
I listen to you all the time. So, yeah, the guy Steve Weiss was really cool to listen to, man. Very knowledgeable football fan, as well as an analyst or
whatever
he does.
Yeah, he's a host. He's a reporter. He's on NFL Network. He's great.
Okay, I'll look for him. I enjoyed listening to him. But I just wanted to just mention one thing about I'm a Niner fan. I've been a Niner fan, I don't even want to say how long, but for a very long time. I just wanted to say why I think they're going to win this Sunday. Not so much what the Niners will do, but the Cowboys. I'm kind of gonna quote Steve Young, what he said today on the radio, and I just agreed with him a lot. He said about the Cowboys that they lack that that disciplined figure, you know, like knowing the owner is up there in the box, really pretty much not down on the field. I just wanted to know what you thought of that, and if you think it has any effect at all. You know, I'll take your answer on the air. Okay.
Oh, that's fine. I don't actually think it does. I think it's more a matter of comfort. I'm not sure if he was talking about that it did. He felt like it did affect. I don't know.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, you just thought that several times they hadn't lived up to their potential or played up to their potential.
Right. But he thought it was that was the reason why?
Yeah, correct. And then he mentioned, you know, about the Niners and how much better they are today than they were before that Ram game.
Sure.
And he said about, you know, what something like that does to a team, you know, coming back from 14 down on the road.
Agreed. Agreed.
It's really gritty. It's really gritty. And he said that's what he thought the Dallas Cowboys might be lacking, that kind of stuff.
Interesting. Feel like with the Niners, I mean, there's a good side to this, there's a bad side to this. Number one, they got into a 17-0 hole before they came back against the Rams. And actually, it was pretty impressive. As much as it was a road game, the number of Niners fans and the amount of noise they were making on Sunday really stood out to me. Yeah, it was crazy. I kept having to pinch myself and make sure this was a game that was at SoFi Stadium. So that was one thing I thought was pretty impressive. By the way, the way the Niners play the Rams is a matchup that specifically is tough for the Rams. So yeah, they jumped out to a 17-0 lead, but as we talked about with Steve, the Niners can control the line of scrimmage. They're so much more physical. They're not a finesse team at all, really, and that's fine. Now, it's similar with the Cowboys. The Cowboys used to be one of those teams that could control the line of scrimmage, but they've had so many changes on their offensive line that at times they don't do that. They don't establish the line. And so if you can see that kind of physical versus finesse matchup on Sunday, there's a very real possibility that the Niners could do the same thing that they've done to other teams, which, as I say, they bully them. They just push them around.
Gosh, I hope so. That'll be great. I'd love to see that.
The problem is, of course, that Dak Prescott is a precision QB, and he can pick the secondary apart if he gets any time to throw.
That's correct. Their offense is impressive. I'll take anything away. Well, thank you very much, Amy.
Yes, high-powered, high-flying offense to be sure, but can they find their rhythm? Steve in San Francisco, thank you so much for your phone call. We'll get to more of your calls coming up, 855-212-4227. Most annoying sports radio topics ever. Some of your answers are making me laugh. Also, some of you are not really getting the question. You're writing back with a particular phrase. That's not a topic. I get it that some things that I say or others say is annoying, but that's not the question. The question is most annoying topics ever, not most annoying things I've ever said. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. I say a lot of annoying things. I got to be a long list.
You are listening to the After Hours Pod.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Cast.
Chargers 32. The Raiders are going to the playoffs. For the first time since 2016, the Raiders are in the postseason.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What did Lindsey Rhodes call it on the show last night? A traumatic finish to the NFL regular season. That's such a great word for it. And what did Mike Tomlin tell us? That he actually fell asleep because when the Raiders were up 15 points with roughly 8.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, he thought it was a safe lead, relatively safe anyway. Oy. The Chargers dominated the final 8 minutes of that game. And other than a three and out by the Raiders, they had possession of the ball the rest of the way in the fourth quarter. Two scoring drives later, plus a 2-point conversion. How many of those fourth down conversions came on those two drives in the fourth quarter? And we found ourselves in overtime, and all of a sudden the possibility of a tie was infinitely more real. And yes, very traumatic down to the very end. So with the call with Ryan Radke on Westwood One is the Raiders secure the final playoff spot and put the Steelers in along with them in the AFC. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, the Mike Tomlin method, which is essentially to fall asleep and miss all of the stress, is not one that was adopted by all the players. Ray McLeod said he and a bunch of teammates got together, and they actually felt like they were playing in the game because that's how real it was and how much they were sucked in, of course. Ben Roethlisberger agrees that it was also very traumatic.
I wish I would have went to bed. Instead of staying up and watching the stress, but what a crazy, crazy game, crazy ending. You know, you go into the evening excited about getting in, and then you're your hopes start to dwindle there for a little while, and then in the last drive you really think they're going to play for the tie. But there's other plans out there.
I haven't looked at the odds because one of my house rules is storylines, not betting lines, but I do know that the Chiefs are highly favored in this game on Saturday night, a rematch of sorts under the lights at Arrowhead Stadium. The 2-seed Chiefs and the last seed, according to Roethlisberger. They could surprise people. They could not. But I do know there's a lot more pressure on Kansas City than there is on Pittsburgh.
I would assume as a group you understand that, you know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the, out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens.
We've been to Kansas City very recently. They handled us and handled us definitively. And so we understand that. But at the same time, we're not paralyzed by that. We accept that we didn't play well enough last time. We accept that we didn't plan well enough last time, but that's last time. And we're excited about the process of readiness this time. We better get ready physically. We better get ready mentally, emotionally, because it's going to take all of us. They're a very talented team in all three phases. We're going to be challenged in totality, but it's January ball, man. That's what we signed up for. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to living it out with the group that we have here and starting this preparation process we have as a staff.
There's nothing like being in the fire, even if it doesn't go the way you want.
It's put up and shut up time.
Yeah, I'd always rather be in the fire than on the outside watching, wishing that I was in the fire. As for Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs, they certainly have a ton of experience with the guys who've been there all along, but they also have a bunch of young guys who haven't yet experienced the postseason, and there's always that bit of learning curve. It does help, though, when you have a locker room that can offer wisdom.
I think the one thing that's good about it is the veteran guys that have been through it with us can tell the young guys, because we got quite a few young kids that are playing right now, and all of a sudden they're into game 18 here and going, holy Toledo. I mean, we thought we had a long season at 12, you know, when they were playing college football. So it's I think that's a positive to know the speed of the game. I think is, you know, be able to share that with them is important. You don't know until you get in there, but for whatever reason, each level you go up in the playoffs, the speed of the game picks up. I mean, that's just the urgency level. It's all single elimination, so the urgency level goes up.
I need more of Andy Reid saying, holy Toledo, in my life. Holy Toledo, and then Mike Tomlin with his laughing about how he fell asleep at the end of the Raiders and the Chargers because he expected he had a work day coming up on Monday. Just funny stuff. He's the veteran coaches to me because they've been there, done that. They don't get quite as stressed about these press conferences. I mean, Kyle Shanahan still thinks the media is the devil, and it's stressful for coaches who haven't been through it. But the guys who've done it over and over and over again, they just are who they are. And Bill Belichick, too, he doesn't try to be something he's not. He really doesn't care. And so they, to me, provide the more entertaining media comments. But I know not everyone sees it my way.
Oh, it's later.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page, also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And we're asking you and getting some entertaining answers. What is the most annoying sports radio topic ever? And I'm going to read a few from Twitter and then I'll switch to Facebook, and we've got some calls here. Tammy says the worst ever is Aaron Rodgers' toe.
What in the fuck was that?
And then she goes on to add, who is the greatest, Michael or LeBron? Yeah, a bunch of you are saying the GOAT topics, which I hate. I'll agree with you there. I can't stand it. Who's the GOAT? Last year's Super Bowl with the GOAT and the baby GOAT made me want to, seriously, go underwater and hold my breath until the Super Bowl was over. Scott says, when the hosts say a particular NFL team has beaten nobody, do they not realize the strength of schedule has no bearing in the NFL? Well, they may not, but that's not really a topic, I guess. Michael, the most annoying is which of the four major franchises in your city will win a championship next? Thankfully, we never do that on this show. That's the beauty of not having to appeal to one local audience. Let's talk to Sean, who's listening in Oregon. Sean, what's the most annoying sports radio topic ever?
Amy, I'm going to say it's the NFL draft. That just drags on and on.
It does.
And there's no science to it or anything else.
I think the teams would tell you there's science to it.
Sure, and everything in the NFL is overthought. They overthink everything. And that's what I've noticed. It gets old.
Who's they?
They, as in people in football. Everyone, you know, they're like the coaches. They overthink everything. The general managers overthink everything. The fans overthink everything.
They just fly by the seat of their pants. Just go with your first instinct.
Well, it's built that way. I mean, when you got one game a week and every play is broke down, they overthink every down. They overthink every game. I mean, it's just built that way.
Well, I guess overthink is a matter of perspective. I would say that because the NFL is A, the most lucrative league in sports, and B, because it's all about what have you done for me lately, there's very little job security, and C, because it's uber competitive. And we saw that so often over and over in 2021, that lends itself to being prepared and over-prepared for any and every situation.
That's true, but it's also a chance to, when you overthink something and you don't go with your first instinct gut feelings, you get talked out of making your best decision.
Well, the best coaches do. They combine analytics and numbers and X's and O's with gut instincts. The best ones do.
And what about the draft?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of drafts. I've said this before. I understand the excitement over the NFL draft, but there's no such thing as a sure thing. I don't care what people say about you ahead of time. It's a lot of it has to do with where you go and who the coaches and the general managers are. So I don't love it. I do extensively cover the first round of the NFL draft because there are a lot of people who are into it. But I'm always grateful that I'm off over the weekend and don't have to cover the other 18, 19 rounds. That's what it feels like.
You're awesome, Amy. I enjoy listening. Have a good night.
Thank you, Sean. Good to hear from you in Oregon. We'll get to more of your calls coming up, but if I take another call here, I'll have to cut you off in 30 seconds. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Now, a few from our Facebook page, because a lot of you are weighing in there as well. Some of you are saying anything Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, well, until he retires, that's going to be a topic. I love this one from Bill. Why player A belongs in the Baseball Hall of Fame and player B doesn't? You know what? Another one that I can't stand and I will never do? Snubs. Snubs for the All-Star rosters. Oh my gosh, who freaking cares? It's a popularity contest anyway. You'll never hear me talk about snubs. Oscar on Facebook, the GOAT. It's a never-ending topic. In any sport, I agree with that. Peter says LeBron versus Jordan. Yes. Is Brady the GOAT? Yes. Let's see. Timothy goes with the post-draft top tens for next year's draft. Carter says fantasy football. Who cares? Oh, heavens, millions of people do. But I agree. It's not a great topic on radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.